This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Teacher," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his own sin or those of his parents?" It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. "He was born blind so that the power of God could be seen in him. All of us must act quickly to carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all the work comes to an end. But while I am still here in the world, I am the light of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I learned a great word while I was preparing for this week's sermon. The words heliotropism. When a flower or a flower bud tracks the movement of the sun across the sky, it's called heliotropism. If it sounds like a Greek word, it is. Helio means sun. Tropic means turn. And there's a great video on YouTube that shows heliotropism at work. It shows this field of sunflowers in Delaware, like almost a 500,000 sunflowers, and they're all literally facing the same direction. They're all facing the sun. There's just something about the cell structure, even the physiology of a sunflower, that allows it to follow the sun as it moves through the sky. As I thought about it, it seemed to me that this affinity toward light shows up in lots of other examples in nature. Maybe you've noticed how a houseplant sometimes will grow towards the light coming in through a window. It just seems like the plant almost strains to reach towards the light. And there's a book by a fellow's name is Dr. Norman Rosenthal, and it's called Winter Blues. And it's all about a condition called SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. And it's said to afflict like 20% of the American population. And his theory is that in the winter months, people are more prone to depression because the winter nights are longer and there's just less light in the lives of people. When Bonnie and I were looking for a place to live in the Bay Area, she told me, any place but the fog belt. She just couldn't stand the thought of little or no sunshine coming in those summer months. I think there's something about our physical makeup, at least in most life, that just craves light. We seem to be drawn to it. It's almost as if this need for light is woven into the very fabric of our lives. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the very first words that God spoke in creation were, "Let there be light." Rocky Point Lighthouse was the name of our VBS. And its theme was, where kids learn to shine God's light. And they got pretty good at it. Everything we did in VBS, from the lessons, to the music, to the games, to the service project that we did, was helping our young ones learn how to shine God's light in the world. And we learned this week how desperately the world needs that light. I was up late on Thursday night working on this sermon. And just as I was going to bed, the reports started to come in of that horrible shooting in Aurora, Colorado. I already knew that I wanted to talk about VBS and its theme of shining God's light. And when that report came in, that said that the shooting started at a midnight screening of the new Batman movie, the wheels started to sort of turn in my head. And when the announcer named the name of that movie, The Dark Knight Rises, my skin actually began to crawl. It just seemed like it was this horrific play on words. And it just sort of made me feel how close to home that whole event hit for us. I don't claim to be able to imagine what that scene in that theater must have been like, but I would have to think that those terrified people would have longed for just a glimmer of God's light to show up in that chaos. It just seems like when that darkness of night threatens to envelop us, the first thing we hope and pray for is just a flicker of God's light. In times like that, those first words in our psalm come as great comfort to us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? Sooner or later, every one of us has to come face to face with some kind of dark night of our souls, where panic or fear is very real, something that we have to deal with. But once we're claimed by God, His promise to us is that we don't have to face that kind of fear alone. And the ancient Hebrews understood this. In our first lesson, King David, he's being quoted here, he declares that God is a light that lights up his darkness. And then he doubles down on that whole sentiment in our psalm. He says, God is his light and salvation. Why be afraid? Those are comforting words that we can take to heart. We know that at least in the long run, we're God's people and we'll be with him in eternity. But it doesn't mean that it won't be a bumpy ride along the way. In the short term, we've got these things that come up that we have to face. And Paul points that out in our second lesson. He says in no uncertain terms, there's active opposition in this world to God's light. The very same God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, chose to reveal himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we believe and we teach that Christ is the light of the world. There's salvation in Him. And it's there for anybody who would receive it. But Paul reminds us that the God of this world blinds people to that truth. And sadly, the kind of tragedy that we saw on Thursday night is evidence of that. But that's not the end of the story. More than any other gospel writer, John associates Jesus with light. In fact, every time he uses the word light, it's a direct description of Jesus. And he uses these strong phrases and descriptions that just stay with us. John talks about how Jesus is the light who came into the world and the darkness did not overcome it. He says how John the Baptist testified to that light. He says all who do evil hate the light. And he quotes Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. John really wants us to know that Jesus is the light of the world and he shines God's light by his presence here. That was our main message in VBS. We used two Bible verses to teach the kids about shining God's light. And both of them involved Jesus. Jesus shined God's light when he healed the blind man in John chapter 9. And we just want our kids to know that every time they do an act of kindness or mercy, they're shining God's light. And then we talked about how Jesus died and came back to life. It's a great act of mercy that Jesus died for our sins. But we learned that God's light shined brightest when Jesus came back to life. He proved once and for all that death couldn't contain him, that death doesn't have the last word. So until God's light shines brightest in the resurrection of Jesus. And after an event like those Colorado shootings, there's no denying that the world can be a dark and threatening place. We know that. But as God's children, we trust that God lights up that darkness, lights up that gloom, even as it seems like it's folding in around us sometimes. God gives us that light through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And when we follow Jesus, when we receive Him into our hearts, when we live the way that He would have us live, we all shine God's light. So I think we could take a lesson from the sunflower. It turns out that plants aren't the only things that are heliotropic. Our life works best. We're healthiest. We're doing what we're supposed to do when we follow the Son. The real Son. The Son of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So may every one of us shine God's light through faith in His Son. Let us follow the Son. Amen.